Good morning, everybody. Today is, I don't even know what day of the week it is. I think it's Wednesday. It is Wednesday, April 1st, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules and Lady Pitbull here on UCY.TV. Good morning, Lady Pitbull.
Hey, how are ya?
Good. How about you?
Good. It's April Fool's Day.
It is. I just realized that this morning.
Oh my god. Well, the biggest April Fool's joke is the government itself now. So, I mean, every day you see new stuff that's just completely preposterous in the news.
Have you seen anything completely preposterous?
I absolutely have.
Three times fast.
Well, check this out. This is interesting. It says George P. Bush wins first University of Texas Latino Leadership Award. Hey.
Oh my god.
That's an April Fool's joke if I ever heard one.
Should be Chris P.
Yeah.
Chris P. Bush. That would be kind of funny.
Would that be like a weird April Fool, like, genetic combination of, let's see, George P. and, like, maybe Chris Christie?
I don't know.
That's nice.
Chris Krispy Kreme.
Yeah.
That's what he makes me think of every time I see him.
George P.
No, Crispy. Crispy Kreme.
Oh, right. Oh, my God. How crazy. It's just nuts. I don't know. Everything's sick and twisted. So, the new Texas land commissioner gets the Latino Leadership Award down there at the University of Texas.
Yeah,
Longhorn.
He did. He took on the land commissioner. So, did he ever say he was throwing his hat in to run? Because I know at one point there was kind of postulation that could be Hitler-y and Bush for 20, what year is it that we're running? 2016, right? Holy crap, it's coming up so fast. And now I haven't seen much of anything. And I guess the whole Hitler-y email on my private server scandal is just like blowing up and spooging all over her face, which is kind of hysterically funny. Nobody really seems to care, but at least coming from a technical background, and then we watched all of that Lois Lerner stuff with the IRS and the missing emails and the shredded hard drives. You know what I mean?
I know.
So, like, to see this happening again, but now, like, she was trying to be so coy about it, and she's like, well, you know, I gave them everything that they wanted, and it was just as safe here as it was there, and you know, I want them to give all my emails to the public so they can read it, and then to find out like there was all this other stuff going on, and she had been offering to house other people's emails for donations. Did you see all that?
And
her, she'd been getting all kinds of money from the Ukrainian oligarch as well for her foundation. So this has turned into a big, big, ugly, sticky ball that probably isn't going to go away. So Hillary might just be relegated to be grandma.
Well, I heard that she's going to announce her run for the candidacy. So, she's going to announce it.
Polls had shown before this had happened that she was up like more than half, like 50 or 60% approval above anybody else, which I can't even believe considering what we've learned over the last few years. I mean, I have to admit, at one point I was extremely naive. I lived through the heyday of Billy Clinton's economy, mid to late 90s, when money was falling from the sky and he was just standing on stage playing his saxophone, you know, and it always left a warm and fuzzy. And even after Monica Lewinsky, like, I don't know if you heard Michael Cross's show a couple weeks ago talking about why do we love the bad boys? Did you hear that one? It was probably 2-3 weeks ago, and he actually talked about how Bill Clinton's popularity went through the roof after the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Heck yeah, absolutely.
You know, because he's a bad boy. But you know, then as we learned more, and then of course, you know, the Bush regime came into play again. It was the second time around too, and everyone's like, oh my god, I hate this motherfucker. And it was just an 8 years of it. And so everyone kind of forgot about it. And then Hillary actually looked like she smelled like a rose. You know what I mean? And of course, that's the way the whole game works, right? Is to keep
that's
switching
right.
teams, make one really smell bad so the other one gets in easy.
Oh, that's the sleight of hand right there.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just think it's funny. If we gave her enough rope and she actually hung herself, that would be hysterical.
Well, that looks like it's happening, except that if she actually succeeds in announcing officially her candidacy to become president, then, I mean, they can do any damn thing they want. That's what it's going to tell me. If that actually happens, they've just got pell-mell blank check just to steal all the gold and give it to China, you know, through corporate means, especially through the TPP. When that passes secretly, they're just going to just do this stuff. It, you know, police state coming down on us, it doesn't matter. They've already done it, and they're just going to do it.
Well, I saw a story yesterday talking about gold that came out of RT. The world itself could literally run out of mineable gold in the next 20 years. And that is according to media reports citing a Goldman Sachs research report.
A Goldman Sachs research?
Yeah, so it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to run out of gold as it's all in Goldman
Sachs.
Can anybody
say... artificial scarcity?
Yeah,
artificial
exactly.
scarcity. They're calling their own artificial scarcity.
Yep. Oh, no, we're getting run out of gold, and it's all buried in China.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all in the billionaire's wrists.
Yeah.
And the
right
watch. Oh, boy.
That's exactly where it's going. And they're telling you right now that that's what they're going to do, because they have to tell you, like, it's a ritual that they have to tell you what they're going to do before they do it, and they've just basically told us, and people just don't.
You know, here's the thing. I don't know if I actually believe about that ritual, because people always talk about that ritual that they have to tell you. But here's the thing: if you look at it from a scientific and a psychological perspective, and we actually looked at this, that whole desensitization thing happens. You know, when they even put it in the movies beforehand, you've seen it already. You
absolutely.
Know, so then, when it happens, you're like, "Eh, no big deal. I ever, you know, been there, done that," and it's not that big of a deal anymore. So once it's already out there, they've planted that seed so people mm-hmm. can get used to it. And actually, it's even better to plant the seed before it ever happens, because then nobody can put their hands up in the air and be like professionally appalled by it, because it hasn't really happened yet, you know?
Right. Absolutely. That's the whole point. Psychological operations.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's one. I had a talk with Brandon a couple days ago. Actually, I don't even remember where it was. I don't even think I talked to him. Come to think of it now, it might have been a few weeks ago when he was off. So he must have been messaging me the other day about something, and he mentioned something. Oh, I know. And then he dropped me a story that he had just written about some of the crazy stuff going on. But here's the thing. I brought up the whole Yemen thing with the Houthi and Iran, right? That's going mm-hmm. on, right? So Saudi Arabia is now bombing the crap
yeah.
out of Yemen because they said that they had an illegitimate government. And Iran is saying no, that they were – I'm trying to remember. Actually, that they I take that back. Saudi Arabia says that they had a legitimate government, and they had the Houthi, which are the Iranian rebels, which are trying to overthrow the illegitimate government, because Iran is saying that the government of Yemen, which I wouldn't doubt this, is actually a United States-backed puppet government, okay?
Yep.
And a lot of the Middle Eastern countries, if they are not involved at the moment with Saudi Arabia and the bombings, they at least have thrown their support behind them. So I started asking Brandon, I'm like, well, how does Egypt figure into all this? Because, right, we had Morsi, he was part of the Muslim Brotherhood. Of course, that was all U.S. puppet-backed. We tried to get him to take the army across the border into, was it, Syria? Yeah, it was Syria, not Ukraine. Syria there. And the military, and I don't ever remember his name, but the guy that was in charge of the military stood up and he said, absolutely not. We're not going in, and we're taking you, Muslim Brotherhood, out of power. And there was a coup, and I think that was 2013. There was a military coup, and they put all the Muslim Brotherhood in jail. And there were hundreds of them that were put in jail, and now they're all on death row. I don't know if you saw that, Morsi included. They actually just executed two of them in the last few weeks. But I thought the number was like 400 plus people that are on death row right now.
Whoa.
Brother, and remember, that was all U.S. backed, U.S. puppet government that was put there, right?
Correct.
So we, in the meantime, like before all that happened, Egypt was on our good side because he was our little pet there that we took care of and he did our bidding. And so we were inking contracts to drop them all kinds of high speed, you know, F-35s and tanks and all this other crap that we were giving to Egypt. But when that military coup happened and the opposition took over, they had been under an arms ban. We were just getting ready. I think it was a tank shipment. We were just getting ready to send there when that coup happened, and we put the kibosh on it. Well, I just see now the other day that Egypt is all of a sudden behind Saudi Arabia, and I'm like scratching my head going, wait a second, this doesn't make sense, because Morsi's out of power, the Muslim Brotherhood's out of power, and now we have this opposition. Saudi Arabia, of course, is our butt patting buddy, right? Yeah. I mean, we've been in bed with them, Prince Bandar.
Oh yeah,
long time. And it's pretty much our creation anyway.
The Bushes again,
right? And I mean, if we even go back, we've talked about that Aramco and all the oil discovery back in the day, and then kind of splitting it off to the Saudis for the oil companies. There's a very long history there. So why all of a sudden is Egypt hopping behind Saudi Arabia for bombing the crap out of Yemen when Egypt wasn't really on our side anymore, right?
You asked that to Brandon?
I did ask it to Brandon, and he said, well, that's a very good question, and I'll tell you why.
Because, right on.
And I don't remember what the guy that's in charge now, I don't remember what his name is, but he's like, oh, well, maybe he's thinking he better get on the right side before they come for him next, and that's exactly it. But right. Check this out. There must have been some kind of deal, because now all of a sudden, Egypt is behind Saudi Arabia, and bang! Obama yesterday lifts the arms embargo against Egypt, authorizing the deliveries of U.S. weapons valued at over $1.3
billion. Whoa! Didn't they just lose $500 million in weapons? Do you think that's a very good idea to just go switch it to Yemen, to Egypt? I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well, it says Egyptian forces have been fighting Islamic militants in Yemen and Libya. So we're just going to turn on the weapons machine because, you know what? Profits weren't big enough this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was pointed to at the end of the, let's see, January, February, March. So the beginning of Q2. This must have been the Q2 plan. Hey, Barry, man, you know how much money we were making down to shipping arms to Egypt? And look at that, the big black hole now on my year-end statement. We need to get those weapons flowing again. That billions of dollars.
I am so sick of this crap.
I know.
I am not kidding around. Everybody around the world is sick of this crap.
Yeah, we are. We are, and the congressmen are going to be even bigger billionaires this year.
Oh, of course they are. That's why Harry Reid's taking a hike, is because he's sitting on that billion-dollar payoff that he just got, you know?
Probably.
It's just, I'm sick and tired of this crap. The interventionist freaking foreign policy bull crap. I mean, Obama might as well have an R next to his name, really.
Yeah, well, I think that they've all merged, to be honest.
I think so.
It's a big C.
You're right. And it is.
Use your imagination for what the C stands for, but I'm going to say it's in a bracket on either side, and it's for criminal.
That's right.
But it could be for lots of things.
That's right. Corporation.
Yeah. There you go. Corporate governance.
Yes, corporate governance, indeed. That's exactly what this is morphing into. And corporate governance always leads to a police state.
Well, that's what the TPP is going to lead to. It's going to give the corporations, we talked about that the other day, the ability to actually sue states if they feel like they've been kibbutzed or they haven't had their, you know, made the profits that they had planned to make because the state made a law that maybe pointed out that they were selling poison.
Right, exactly. There's lead or whatever you brought
right,
that up.
Right, lead Chinese toys.
Right.
Gotta love those.
And then the Chinese can come and sue. Like, they don't already have our ports. And
yeah, well, the Chinese, as far as I've seen, And this is where I'm a little bit confused. I remember the Chinese in the very beginning had a problem with the TPP, but I figured they would have gotten on board by now, but they're not. Not in that latest report that I saw. The Chinese are not there. We have a good part of the Pacific Rim involved, but not the Chinese.
That's probably, well, they...
They're making their own moves.
They're staying outside of this.
That's why. That's what they're saying. Everything's already buying all of our shit.
Right. Yeah, they're buying land here. They're buying, I mean, our ports are gone. Thank you, Clinton. That was treasonous. Clinton sold them our nukes, too, apparently. Cool. And that was a treasonous act. I mean,
sold nukes to what? I don't know about that.
Sold nukes to China.
No.
Oh, yeah, a long time ago.
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can look that
Why
up.
Why would you sell nukes to China? They wouldn't do that.
He did.
See this one because I never heard of that. And I can tell you they've been hacking us. They probably have all of our nuclear secrets.
Well, sure. But I believe Clinton gave that to them.
Well, I see it on Rents. I'm trying to see.
Oh, yeah, you got to get a different source.
Somewhere. Yeah, China sold parts for nuclear arms.
There we go. That's what it was.
U.S. officials say. And that was 1996 out of the New York Times.
Yep, that was a long time ago.
China sold parts for nuclear arms, U.S. officials say. And actually, 96 is when Clinton was in office. Remember, there was the mid to late 90s when money was falling from the sky.
That's right. That's exactly why I brought it up, because you were saying
it
earlier.
Man, that's pretty cool that New York Times has all their archives back to even 96 online.
Yeah, that is good.
All right, well, kudos for New York Times. China secretly sold nuclear weapons technology to Pakistan last year. Well, I knew about that. Now, see, that's where the Pakistani nuclear program happened behind the curtains, and the military commander was doing it behind Bhutto's back. And see, she never knew anything about this. And that was before she was assassinated. And then I believe it was her husband who took over.
Right.
Hold on. We got a surprise caller coming on.
Sweet.
Hold the phone. I just got to find him. Ding, 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 a ding, a ding, ding.
Yay, ringy dingy.
Ding, ding, ding. Yesterday, the show was titled Ding Dong Delivery Drones. Hey, good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Yay, Hammy.
Nice to hear you.
Well, nice to hear you, too.
Yes.
yeah, whatever, Jules.
So, Brennan, how are you?
I got pants on.
Well, that's always good. Yeah, no pants. No pantsless radio here. There's women.
Live topless call-ins. Only on UCY.
Actually, you should do your show like that.
Yeah. You don't have a moob sensor.
There's moob sensor, yes. All guys have to be shirtless to call in. Yes, audio kind of sucks. It's because I am remote and I have a sucky old school headset.
Well, just back off the mic a little bit, Hammy.
Sorry about that.
I'm sure
if we're going to start doing like topless radio, we're going to end up with Chris Geo as a guest. So we're not doing that.
Yeah, no.
So, what's going on? How warm is it down there?
It is probably about 65, 66, and it looks like it's going to rain again today. And I'm really regretting my decision to sell my 410s because the mosquitoes are probably just a couple hours away.
Oh, were you going to, like, play...
Bring one of them some bitches down.
Yeah.
You know, like, they got landing lights and tail numbers on them. They're just... It's getting bad this year.
Well, it's like 25 and sunny here.
25, really?
Yes. I looked out this morning. I'm like, wow, looks like it's really nice out. We should open the window. My mother says, no, it's only 25.
Wow.
Oh, man.
My goodness. It's 50 here.
Oh, well, I guess it's coming. They show there's a big warm front, but I think there's major storms coming with it.
Yeah, there is.
We might, if... I saw yesterday, we're heading back for Easter, right? We're here for the vacation, then we're going to head back. Everyone's going to come back to my house for dinner. And I saw that if the storm that's coming is just 50 miles to the one direction, we could have an all-out snowstorm.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I know. Like, please just stick a fork in me now.
Oh, man. You guys are, getting hammered.
I know. I'm done. I am so done.
Halifax has been getting just bam, hit all winter long. Halifax, I know somebody who lives there. They really didn't have a whole lot of snow at all, like the whole winter. And then the spring hits and bam, they just got just socked in snowstorm after snowstorm after snowstorm. That jet went off the freaking runway and lost its engine. Oh, my God.
I saw that.
Craziness. Yeah, there's.
Well, we didn't even have a reprise. I mean, this has just been constant, unending. Yeah. I'm surprised that there haven't been lots of people going off the deep end in this region.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, the snow, the last of the little snow mound just melted. Like the other day, there's
still have snow mounds. And in the corners, anyway, there's still snow mounds. I was out there the other day, like going crazy with a shovel, trying to dig out the door of my greenhouse. I'm like, come on! And it's solid as a brick.
Oh, rough business.
So anyway, Hammy, what do you think of that that whole thing I was talking about with Egypt getting the $1.3 billion in weapons inked?
Well, I think it just goes to show our nation's resolve to fight terrorism in all forms. April Fools! April Fools! Got you again!
That's right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, like, seriously, this morning... They're screaming about the Iran nuclear issue again, and how, well, Jesus H. Christ, you know, the deadline has already passed. You know, we're running out of time to bomb Iran. And I mean, that's like the big media push right now, like the mainstream push, is that this deal with Iran is horrible, and why don't we have Netanyahu as president of the United States? And that's pretty much it for all of mainstream AM radio.
Yeah, you know, I saw on the news last night, I wasn't listening, but my dad had it on, and I saw them all sitting at a table again. I saw John Kerry there, and they were having more Iranian discussions. And here's the thing. I thought that Iran was being pretty agreeable at one point, right? I thought things were moving ahead, and I thought that's why this whole stupid Congress thing. Remember when they backdoored everyone and Congress sent letters directly to Iran saying, don't ink it, don't ink it?
Right.
Did you see that? That was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that was with that guy Tom Cotton, who was screaming that the Iranians have taken over Tehran and blah, blah, blah.
Well, yes, and you know, this...
Tehran is like the capital of Iran. You know,
right,
that's
exactly.
There.
I was like, what?
Well, there was one of the other things that Brandon was telling me in regards to this whole thing that's playing out is that Iran, we all know that Iran was working with the Iraqis against ISIS, right? They were in there helping them bomb. And all of a sudden, we had to get them out of there. And now there's accusations from the Iranians, and I'm trying to find the story right now because I posted it the other day, that we actually killed some of their advisors in Iraq. And this
we droned two of them the other day.
Yeah, and this was right as Saudi Arabia went in and started bombing the crap out of Yemen, and now Iran is screaming to high heaven because those are Iranian rebels there that are trying to depose that illegitimate government.
It's Brzezinski's...
2 days ago, Iran or Saudi Arabia just opened up their airspace to Israel to give them the green light to attack.
Oh,
Iran.
God.
Of course.
That's a big thing. Is like in the past, Israel hasn't had the flyby or the flyover capability to do it. And they've been told that if they fly over Iraq, the United States will shoot them down. That has been said. So what they've done is they've come up with like a tactic where they kind of like shooting a basketball. Like they take off like at an upward trajectory and then launch the missile, and then it goes, and then it kind of like clears the airspace they can't fly through, and then it'll drop down in the, you know, intended target zone. They don't have to do that now because now they can fly right across Saudi Arabia and refuel across Saudi Arabia. But I mean, that's really not like all that surprising considering, you know, Saudi Arabia works hand in hand with Israel at every opportunity.
Yeah, the whole thing is pretty ugly.
Well, it's Brzezinski's grand chessboard pieces in motion right now. They're moving these chess pieces just like you said. It's like they said they were going to do.
So I don't know. And notice how quiet Russia has been. Russia and China are all working on getting their international bank together.
That's the key, right? Everything I think we're hearing right now is distraction and just fear tactics to get you to pay attention to something other than that bank opening up.
Right.
Honestly, the only two countries that are not involved in the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, which goes online September 1st, the only two countries not involved in that or invited to join it are the United States and North Korea.
I had heard that the United States is kind of right there backing it.
No, we're not. We are deathly afraid of it because this is the death of the dollar. Because once the Asian Investment Bank comes in, you can start seeing people starting to sell their national commodity without having to do the dollar two-step, you know, having to buy dollars to buy the product and then convert the dollars back to their original currency, which, you know, I mean, that's built in squeeze right there.
Yeah, but you also have to think that this is just the China-Russia thing is just that's the one world currency. And yeah, I think that the people in the Fed definitely want to go that route.
But you have to like almost look at it like how it's been happened in the past in other countries that have had currency revaluations and all that. We're at the beginning of it, and we're probably going to get three currency revaluations before we come up with something that is the new trusted purple money or whatever. Whatever color it's going to be, you know, it's still going to be paper or digital or whatever. It's not going to be anything real.
Right.
It's probably going to be digital eventually. I think I mentioned to Lady Pipple yesterday that Brandon was just thinking, I mentioned to him the other day, I said, I need you to do an update on the universal ID and the cashless society and what's going on in India and where it's spread to. And he's like, I was just thinking about that. So we might see a story about that soon.
Something about that a little bit quicker because this morning Greece said that if they're not released from the austerity provisions, that they are going to legalize Bitcoin as a currency in their country.
Whoa!
And there goes the euro. Either there goes the euro, or you're going to find that Bin Laden has been hiding at a rape camp somewhere in Greece, and we're going to have to go free the shit out of them too.
Well, did you see all the stuff that's going on with Bitcoin now? With the feds stealing Bitcoin?
That doesn't surprise me, but I haven't heard of it.
The Silk Road.
Yeah.
Some feds decided that, well, hey, this is a pretty good scam. Let's keep it going for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, they opened up Silk Road 2. Yeah, right. Like, who the hell is going to actually buy something that you know the feds opened up?
I mean, didn't I say that in the very beginning when there was a story about, oh, Silk Road is back up and running again. We're not really sure who took it over, but come buy your drugs. I was like, come on. If anyone is that stupid, you deserve to get busted.
Exactly. Jeez, I remember you laughing just like that. I remember.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, yes. It takes and I, all kinds of people signed up.
I know.
And started buying like there was no tomorrow. They're like, "Yay, it's back up!"
Yeah, we were totally saying this right when that was going down.
I mean, the thing is,
I hate this. I gotta go. Somebody just pulled up at my house. I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you in a little while.
Hopefully, they got a basket of money.
That would be nice.
All right, talk to you later, Michael. All right.
Wow. Okay. Can we go back to the question that you asked Brandon the question, and then what was his answer?
To what?
To the Egypt question.
To the Egypt question.
Yeah, you were saying that. You were talking about that. And,
I thought I said that. That they wanted to get on the right side. I mean, because think about it. How many countries are out there right now that aren't part of this orchestration that we're orchestrating?
Right.
Not many.
CIA is everywhere.
Yeah, but there's not many. So Libya fell. Libya's an absolute chaos. You got Syria in absolute chaos. You got Ukraine in absolute chaos. You had Egypt, which was part of our puppet, and then they deposed our puppeteer. So it was kind of sitting there now for 2 years waiting to find out what was going to happen. And he saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
So I think he just stepped in the line. Now, if he's going to forever be our friend, that's a question. But as long as he plays nice, they might let him go for a while.
Yeah, they'll prop him up. They're sending him weapons as we speak.
Right. $1.3 billion worth.
Yeah. Oh, Egypt's going to become the new terrorist state. Just you watch. It's not going to take long.
No, I don't think
CIA's.
You think they're going to hit Egypt?
Oh, they're, well, the more they give them weapons, you know, that's what the natural line of trajectory that we've been seeing this happen the whole time. I mean, it'll eventually just become a wasteland. That's what they want to turn the Middle East into anyway. Giant glass parking lot.
Yeah. Giant glass parking lot that pumps lots of oil.
Yeah, with the oil taps. Well, glass parking lot everywhere except for Saudi Arabia, that is, and Israel.
So. Yeah. I totally lost my train of thought now.
I'm sorry.
I was going to talk about, and it's gone. And I know I was going to go find the story, and it's gone.
I sidetracked you.
Sorry about that. Nope. It's gone. completely gone. So, all right, subject change. Do you have anything you want to talk about that doesn't have to do with Middle Eastern politics? I'm bored now.
I know. Well, I think you were talking about Brandon, that you asked him, you guys were talking about something.
Yeah, I'm over that.
All right. Actually, no, I don't know. Everything's just absolutely going to shit. That's all I know.
Well, there was something interesting in Israel that makes me wonder how this is going to play out. Like, the IDF is a big part of the Israeli lifestyle, right? And I think it's compulsory, they call it, isn't it? So when you reach a certain age that you have to join the military. Well, check this story out. This is just kind of weird. Parents paying for the army. Court tells IDF soldiers pay is living wage, not pocket money. The High Court in Israel has given the IDF 60 days to rethink their position on soldiers' wages, saying those are not, quote, pocket money, unquote, but must cover living necessities, local media reports. The petition complains that parents have to cover the conscripts' needs. Supreme Court in Jerusalem was discussing a petition filed by lawyer Amnon Lorch in 2012 on behalf of his three children who served in the army and included a demand to increase soldiers' wages by 23% to meet the rising cost of living. The petition said that the wage is intended, quote, to meet the basic needs of conscripts, unquote, as the IDF themselves define it. But in reality, this does not happen. It claimed that salaries of the standing army and chiefs of staff increased by 20% since 2002, while earnings of conscripts remain the same and are derived from a substance cost set in 1986. So they're getting paid on a pay scale back from 1986. And I can tell you that when I was pregnant and got my disability, when you go off on disability, when you have the baby, I was very surprised. New York State, that's what all we were covered under was New York State disability. New York State disability was still going on the cost structure of 1986, and it was like $230 a week is what you got. And, you know, I even sent a letter at that time. I think it was Pataki that might have still been the New York governor. I sent a letter to him and pointed out to him, did he realize that in 1986, tuition at a New York State college institution was $675 a semester? And at that point in time, I might have had a living wage of $230 a week. But in, I think the time, it was 2006, in those days, it just didn't cut it. $230 a week can barely buy you groceries for a family of three.
Right.
If that.
A person of one can barely live on that.
And how are you even going to pay your bills?
You're, I mean, not.
Your rent's like $800 a month. How are you going to pay for your shitty car you drive, or, you know, buy a can of soup? It just isn't going to work. So anyway, where do we leave it? So I just find it interesting that Israel is like trying to flex their muscles, and they have this huge military force, but they're not paying them. And parents are kicking in the bill to like provide the soldiers a living wage. How does that figure on the psyche of the soldiers?
Not only that, but that's just abject slavery. That's a slave class.
It sure is.
You know what I mean? I mean, and they're doing that to their own people, and the parents are footing the bill. That's it's kind of like the same that they do here, though. They don't really, you know, look at the crappy healthcare that these guys get. You know, they don't supply proper body armor over there in the Middle East. The families are usually buying the soldiers, you know, their sons and daughters the body armor they need to be over there.
Right.
It doesn't, certainly not provided by the Marines or the Army or anything like that. These guys have to buy their own stuff. It's kind of like the same almost in both places here. It, you know, but the only difference is that you sign up here, you're volunteering here, and it's conscript there.
Yeah, check this out. So they finally gave them their first pay raise in 10 years in January.
Mm-hmm.
Check this out. Combat soldiers who had previously received $225 a month now earn $282 a month, while soldiers serving in non-combat roles now take home $141 a month instead of $113. A month!
That's slave wages, if you ask me.
That's insane! A month! I mean, why don't they have some sort of backlash from that? You would think.
Yeah, blow back, absolutely. I mean, don't you think that they would, like, their own troops would just be like, we're not going to do
this. $140 a month? I mean, that's crazy.
Yes, that doesn't even cover their food.
It doesn't cover anything.
No.
That wouldn't even cover coffee at Starbucks for a month.
No, not at all. It's true, though. I don't know why they're not rebelling. What the hell's the matter with them over there?
I don't know. I know. I just caught that the other day, and I kind of breezed through it, but then I was like, what? They're not even paying these people enough to, like, freaking eat.
And they're, that is just, it's crazy, because they make them, like, take, you know, basic training and the Krav Maga and all that crap. You've got to know that if you're an Israeli soldier. And they don't even, that, it just seems like they're, it's going to bite them in the ass one of these days. Okay. You know, their own guys can't, like, run across the field or whatever.
I mean, I think, and don't they over there make them feel like it's part of their duty to the country to protect,
sure,
the borders away from
the heritage,
evil.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's
called taking major advantage. And where are all their billions going then if they're not paying the soldiers? It's going into the equipment.
No. I almost guarantee that.
I mean, they all get, like, semi-automatic weapons, don't they? To take
Play
with.
The majority of that, though, is probably going right into the pockets of the government there. So, I don't know, man. It's these guys, they show their true colors, really. I mean, I'm surprised that that the people just, you know, they tolerate it. Why are you tolerating this?
Right. Why,
I mean,
are
this
you
is what is this, like, not what, like, Hitler did? I mean, Hitler looked after his troops pretty good, didn't he? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I see too, just scrolling down through, that the White House said, and I mentioned this yesterday, that they are not ruling out involvement in Yemen. So that'll be great.
Yeah. Jeez. Here we go.
Yeah.
And it continues.
And we just keep increasing the amount we spend on bombs.
Yeah, and freaking Raytheon and Rand Corporation and all these other bastards that are making it happen.
Exactly. Hey, I want to let everyone know, I do have the phone lines open. We have a little bit more time today. We got about 20 minutes left. So if anyone wants to call in and be part of the conversation, please feel free. It's 718-717-8296 or hit me up on Skype, UCY.TV. One of the stories I ran across the other day, too, and this was a story I was looking. Oh, no. Explosion and fire hit oil platform in Gulf of Mexico. Breaking news.
Oh, there goes another dollar increase.
Saudi had warned going into Yemen oil prices were going to go up because they were tanking so bad.
We're never going to see $1.99 again.
Never. An explosion and ensuing fire have hit an oil platform belonging to Mexico's state Pemex petroleum giant in the Gulf of Mexico, leading to the evacuation of 300 workers. Several employees have been injured. Pemex said on Twitter that the fire on the Apcatun Permente platform in the Capache Bay broke out overnight, and that 8 firefighting boats were working on tackling the blaze. So that was breaking news on I saw.
So it's probably still burning.
It probably is still burning. Yes, that is brand new breaking news. Anyway, when we were talking about Silk Road and all the people who signed up for Silk Road 2 after the Reds got in there, a story came out back on March 25th that really caught my attention, and I had known just in every cell of my body that this was going on, but now it came out through FOIA, Google's open door. Firm executives average one meeting a week at the White House since 2009.
I saw that. I heard that the other day, and I was like, ding, 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 ding.
Yes, ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Google executives have met with White House officials an average of once a week since Barack Obama took office in 2009, according to a new report. Visitor logs for the executive mansion and the Obama administration emails obtained by the Wall Street Journal suggest that employees of the search engine giant sat down with the president's team roughly 230 times during the last 6 years, including a slew of meetings with the White House and the Federal Trade Commission officials during the FTC's antitrust investigation of Google that concluded in January of 2013. Oh, another Bill Gates story, isn't it? Antitrust investigation, bend over and spread them, and it gets all better. Ultimately, the FTC's 5-person panel unanimously agreed to end the probe without finding the tech titan at fault. Oh, haven't we seen echoes of this before? Now, according to the Wall Street Journal, their journalist Brody Mullins, documents acquired by the paper, quote, describe meetings involving Google, senior White House advisors, and top FTC officials between the staff's recommendation in August 2012 and a vote in January 2013. Mullins' report, a front-page story published on Wednesday's edition of the Wall Street Journal, claims that, quote, Google's access to high-ranking Obama administration officials during the critical phase of the antitrust probe is one sign of the internet giant's reach in Washington, unquote. Reports of the burgeoning revolving door between Silicon Valley and Washington are legion. Execs from Google and Twitter were named the national chief technology officer and the deputy CTO, respectively, late last year. And just this week, Google alumni Jason Goldman was named the White House's new chief digital officer. Other reports detailing the administration's relationship with Google have surfaced routinely in the past years. And WikiLeaks' Julian Assange, I can't stand him, writing a book on the corporation's ties with the U.S. government in 2014. Nobody wants to acknowledge that Google has grown big and bad, Assange wrote, but it has. The tenure of its former CEO, Eric Schmidt, he's the one that was talking about his immortality longevity project, if you remember, we listened to those clips, saw Google integrate with the shadiest of U.S. power structures as it expanded into a geographically invasive mega corporation, wrote Assange. Nevertheless, the latest reports of Google's infiltration of the White House raises new questions about that alliance, given the timing and frequency of the meetings uncovered by the Journal. And one top lobbyist for Google, Johanna or maybe Johanna Shelton had over 60 meetings inside the doors of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue since 2009, according to Mullins. Yet during that same span, the article indicates employees of the telecom giant Comcast only visited the White House around 20 times. According to Mullins, and Comcast was the other one that I had always said, you know, they were talking about whether or not, and I think it's still up in front of the FCC to decide whether or not this big merger is going to make them a mega corporation and a monopoly. Right. But that's what the feds want. They want the internet to be a monopoly, right? One throat to choke. That's the saying we always used to use in the tech world. You didn't want to go with 15 internet service providers to give a solution to a customer. You wanted to go with one, so if something went wrong, there was only one phone call they had to make, right? And it's much easier to control when it's one bad boy in the back end. Says that, so Comcast only visited around 20 times. According to Mullins, Obama has mentioned the company in half of his annual State of the Union addresses, including the one he gave this past January where he hailed the company as a job creator. Schmidt, the former CEO, who has since joined several White House advisory panels, was personally overseeing a voter turnout software system for Obama. What? On the night of the president's re-election in November 2012.
Whoa, what?
2 months before the FTC ended its probe on Google, according to Mullins. In between, the paper uncovered a lobbyist and a lawyer working on behalf of Google met with one of the president's tech advisors during one of the literally hundreds of meetings between the two camps. In 2014, the relationship between Google and Washington shot callers grew further. According to the journal, Google spent practically as much money on lobbying that year, which was $16.8 million, as Exxon and Apple combined. Quote, "We think it is important to have a strong voice in the debate and to help policymakers understand our business and the work we do to keep the internet open, to build great projects, and to fuel economic growth," says Nikki Kristoff, spokesperson for Google, who told the journal. And what's so funny about this is that, yes, it is important for the White House to understand, now let's decode what he just said, how valuable the data we gather of millions, if not billions of people around the world would be to their intelligence community, right?
Wow,
that was my he didn't say that. That was my
right.
That was
your translation. Yes, yes, exactly.
White House officials meet with business executives on a wide range of issues on a regular basis, added Jennifer Friedman, a White House spokesman. These meetings help keep the White House apprised of outside perspectives on important policy issues. Our staff is cognizant that it is inappropriate to discuss issues relating to regulatory enforcement, unquote. Now, if you remember back, probably was sometime last year, toward the end of the year, I had called out when they had all the big tech giant CEOs show up at the White House and they had this big meeting. Do you remember that? And it was during the time of Obamacare. Obama actually hit up Microsoft for help fixing that disastrous Obamacare website.
Oh, that's right.
But they were there under the guise of discussing this demand by the feds for them to give up information and to let the feds into their back end for surveillance, or so they said.
So they said, yeah.
But here we find out now, Google has been in there once a week at least for the last, how many, 6 years?
What the hell are you doing in there? Yeah. What the hell are they doing?
To me, and you had who, Eric, did she say Eric Schmidt was overseeing one of the voter turnouts? Yes, Eric Schmidt, the former CEO of Google, who has since joined several White House advisory panels, quote, was personally overseeing a voter turnout software system for Obama on the night of the president's reelection. Come on.
I mean, if that's not an admission of guilt, I really don't know what is.
I call bullshit that that was the first time that they ever all met in the White House to discuss policy.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and then we find out yesterday, which I already knew this, but we talked about it kind of at length when we were looking at the drone story about how Amazon is running the cloud for the CIA. You heard that part or no?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, they lost against IBM a few years ago, and I actually read the deeper into some of that last night after the show. IBM, it was all about the bidding process and how that, you know, when you bid on jobs, I mean, I used to do that, and you have to come in, you know, you have specs that you have to conform to. Mm-hmm. They don't tell you whose equipment that they want, but if they really want someone's equipment, like Cisco, we used to see that a lot. They would write the spec of what they were looking for to be so Cisco specific, like with their software and stuff and the features, that there really wasn't any other vendor that you could really bid and expect to win. But I guess IBM played some dirty tricks at the end. They tried to sue, saying, bullshit, our solution was cheaper than Amazon's. And, you know, we've been working with the government for a long time. And so the Fed said, all right, well, I'll tell you what, try and give us one more final number and see what you can do. And then IBM pulled like this hat trick at the end where they gave them a real cheap price up front. But then like years two and three, they would hit them with all these price increases. And the CIA didn't like that too much.
Of course not.
Because IBM was crying, oh, Amazon's price was higher.
Okay.
But anyway, IBM got booted, and Amazon is the one that is running the cloud for the CIA. And, oh, do I still – that? Actually, let me go into history here.
That's
see
nuts.
If I can pull that story up, because I could not believe the amount of data that they were processing per minute. Did it say it was like terabytes a second?
Wow.
Hold on. Let's see. Does my father's machine – control H. Can I do history here? Let's see, yesterday. Let's see if I see that story here. What was it? It was about, there, Amazon test drives delivery drones. No, not that one. Amazon NSA, Amazon CIA Cloud, Amazon again beats IBM. Here we go. This is it. Let's pull it up. Yeah, it's a 10-year, $600 million CIA contract, by the
Whoa.
Way.
Whoa.
It's big. 10 years, too.
10 years. That.
So, you know, when you start looking at this whole delivery drone thing from Amazon and the fact that they're totally in bed with the CIA now, doesn't that make you raise an eyebrow?
I would say that it does.
You know, like I said, be careful when you answer the door. Ding dong, delivery drones calling.
Delivery CIA drones.
Yeah. Get pictures. Get lots of pictures and make sure you use your facial recognition.
That's exactly
ding, ding,
correct.
Ding, 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 ding is the black man. And, you know, we were talking, too, about how FCC is FAA is requiring them to have line of sight on their delivery drones. Well, right. Hey, let's just go back to the black vans at the end of the street.
Sure. Well, like you said, I think they're using that satellite up there as line of sight.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do it, but they do have that. Oh, it's 100. Here we go. The court issued a bench ruling awarding the CIA's C2S contract once again to Amazon, quote, due to the urgency and the importance of C2S. So I guess that's the name of the project. Anyone wants to dig into that, that might uncover some interesting tidbits. The CIA would like to get its facility built so that it may analyze 100 terabytes of raw data at a time through its MapReduce style system. MapReduce originated at Google and distributes data to server disks in a cluster and then requires the data located close to the server CPU to be processed there. Hardloop uses MapReduce along with its own file system. So they're using some sort of Google technology. I mean, that's all clustering. I did clustering and disaster recovery, cloud computing when I was an engineer. There's all kinds of different ways you can build it. But yeah, this is pretty ingenious. So then it just finds the closest CPU to where the data lives to reduce then the transport. So it's a lot faster. But remember, in the cloud, you have thousands of CPUs that are just sitting there ready and waiting for data. And anything that's free can be sucked in and used to process your data. And then it's just incremental. So, okay, your data's processed. Bloop. Now it stops and goes and does someone else's, you know, calculations. And then when you do more data, bloop, it comes back and it does your calculations. So anyway,
wow.
C2S is the name of the project. The CIA working with Amazon, and it is a 10-year, very large project.
Contract. Mm-hmm. Boy, oh boy. It's already built, people. I mean, this whole state grid.
One of the things that might be interesting to do, too, is to go out to FBO.gov and plug in CIA or plug in C2S or CS2. That's what it was, CS2. And see if you can find the original bid. Because I bet that there's a lot more horrible stuff that we don't know about that they asked for.
Yeah, there's probably like that's a good place to look, too.
All that information is required to be public. And if you go in and you plug DARPA in over there, you're going to find all kinds of crazy stuff that you're going to go, no way.
Right. Absolutely. Get the research buttons going.
Yeah. So, all right. We only got a couple minutes left, if you can believe this.
So anything that's like in the cloud, anything can be uploaded into the cloud, just anything, any kind of data, anything. And so then the CIA runs this cloud, right? Pretty much.
Well, but this is probably a private cloud. This probably isn't the public cloud.
Oh, is there a difference?
Well, yeah, there's all kinds of clouds out there. Like, Amazon's got the back end, so they could sell slices of pie. So I knew someone who ran a radio network, and their whole back end was on the Amazon cloud. Basically, it gives you unlimited processing power on demand is what it does. But you're going to pay $800-$900 a month for it, you know?
Right.
Versus just using your machine and your CPU and your memory and your hard drive speed and your connection to your internet service provider. The only thing that you're limited by for the cloud is your connection to the internet service provider.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, if you paid Comcast or Time Warner or any of the other backbone providers, $500,000 a month to get yourself gigabit Ethernet to the internet, well, then it's going to be screaming. And you can bond those together, too, you know. So there's a lot that you could do. But, like, let's say you upload to Dropbox. Dropbox is free. Well, you're uploading to Dropbox's cloud. But don't think that the Alphabet agencies don't have access to that information.
Exactly.
They absolutely do. You know, Microsoft has their cloud now. Sony has a cloud for uploading your music. They all have
Facebook has a cloud. And they're tracking everybody.
And guess what? 15 seconds left if the server is on time. I don't know. I think either I'm off or the server's off, because yesterday Chuck was waiting for his bumper, and it took a few seconds longer than normal. But anyway, guys, make sure you stick around. It is Wednesday night, and no, we're right on time. All right, thank you, Lady Pitbull. Thank you, Michael. We'll catch you guys tomorrow. Take care.
Bye, guys.